Of the Shooting USA podcast. It's internet radio. It's now internet television. And my guest, the very relaxed, very reclined, one and only Phil Strader.
Hey,
Phil, welcome.
How are you?
We have a lot to talk about in this, the first special edition from the 40th Bianchi Cup in Columbia, Missouri. We are in the Holiday Inn Executive Center, the Match Hotel, doing real-time interviews, after-action interviews, if you will, from the match. And, Phil, you shot the first day of the match.
I did.
The news is the gun you've chosen to shoot in the production division.
Right. Are my legs really that white?
That might be the lighting in here. I mean, there is a sunlight. We have a mix of sunlight and a can light here.
I get distracted.
I shot, I'm the product manager for SIG, so I decided I would shoot one of our newer guns. And I shot the P365.
I think that's a beautiful idea. And it makes for an interesting thing in that it's a new and relevant product to the SIG line.
Yep.
It's a compact gun, though. It is a very small gun.
Teeny.
And we're reaching out. You know, I mean, the four events of the Bianchi Cup are all very challenging for some of the most specialty-built, specialized guns in the game. I mean, we have open guns. We have 6-inch limited guns, iron sight guns, 6-inch slides. You're dealing with a 3-inch barrel?
3.1-inch barrel, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we shot two events today. I watched carefully as you approached the practical, which, for those of you who aren't familiar with the events of the Bianchi Cup, the practical is 10, 15, 25, and 50 yards on the NRA's tombstone-shaped target. Yeah. And you managed to put all but one shot on paper, and the one shot that isn't on paper, and I don't want to spoil what you'll see on Shooting USA later in the summer, the one shot that isn't on paper is simply because of a timing issue and getting out of sync on targets. But all of your shots from the 50-yard line found the NRA tombstone-shaped target.
They did.
Out of that little gun.
I think I actually had, if memory serves, 3 5s total at that stage. And the one I missed was at 25. I just kind of forgot. I haven't shot this match since last year. I didn't practice or set up or anything, so I just showed up cold. And actually did this at the 15-yard line, but it didn't hurt me as badly. But at 25, I forgot it was 3 and 3, and I thought it was 2 and 2, and I went 2-2, and I kind of started to pause and wait, and I waited, it's 3, and I shot third, and then by then it was a little late, so that sixth shot was a little late. But I ended up with a 4.47, so that's not horrible.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
A 4.47 on the practical with a gun that is literally
this big.
He has one right here.
I want to take a look at it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they'll feel about it in the lobby. But
I think we can probably get away with it.
Yeah, it's so little.
The lobby is so terribly unoccupied right now that we can certainly show the audience.
The gun's so little. They may think it's like a cigarette lighter.
Go ahead and show that it's clear, and safe gun handling and all of that. And the audience is here. They'd love to see it.
Yeah. So this is it. This is the size of the gun right there. It's
look at this thing.
It's teeny.
It's smaller than my hand. I mean, that is not what the Bianchi Cup was designed. This is not a gun that was designed for the Bianchi Cup.
I'm all about busting paradigms.
You're making the Bianchi Cup something that can be achieved with essentially what would be considered a backup gun.
Right. It is. It's.
I mean, it's a true carry gun. You, in fact, are carrying one now, and you mentioned to me as you came in here before we got rolling that your carry gun is the gun you're shooting in the match.
It is. I was those two guns have those were engineering guns. They've got like 6,000 rounds each on them, so I knew they worked. And I was shooting them with different types of ammo, so I did prepare a little just to know kind of where the gun was hitting. But I had four different kinds of ammo, two different guns, and I said, well, maybe I should just try my actual carry gun, the one that I own, and it actually grouped a little bit better at 25. And so I ended up using it. So now my carry gun is the gun I'm actually using at the match. So it's a hard match. I mean, it's hard with it's hard with a gun purpose built for the match.
It's hard with any gun. Yeah.
But the sight radius, that's a real thing. I mean, short sight radius is it's challenging to say the least at this match. Other matches, I'm actually going to shoot the same gun or one of those two at the Steel Challenge this year in Alabama. Mm-hmm. So that one, I can get away with a little bit more, but here it's just there's no room for error. It's crazy.
Well, you're known to be a a quality stand-up shooter. You've been a grandmaster in USPSA for a number of years. And so the talent is there. Applying the talent in this instance, where some people might argue that you're limiting yourself with your equipment, I think you're dispelling that myth in this case,
right,
showing that this piece of equipment, which many others would dismiss as something not suitable for this, can very much be suitable for this.
I'm not giving the guns enough credit, because I literally shot zero rounds. I didn't even shoot at the practice range. I'm not going to shoot at the practice range. So I think with a little bit more preparation, I would certainly do better. The gun would probably perform better. So, I mean, I don't think it's certainly not something that you're going to be able to say, okay, it's apples and apples against a 320X5 or a custom built gun that's going to have, you know, super tight groups. This gun just doesn't, it's not designed to do that, but it is capable of good enough groups to where you can hit the 10 ring most of the time at 25, right, and you can hit the 5 ring or they hit the 5 ring almost every time, but the 8 ring most of the time. So it's okay.
Well,
it's enough.
And that I think is the whole point here, because on one side of the coin you could be saying, well, he's making a mockery of this event, and I disagree with that. You know, this is not a joke. Mm-hmm. This is not for funny.
Nope.
This is, number one, to prove that this new firearm from SIG is fully capable of these challenges, but number two, that there potentially could be another division at the Bianchi,
right,
Cup, even.
I think so. I think the match is hard, and that's just the way it is. But I think a lot of people kind of shy away from the match because it is equipment intensive. I mean, you see some of these guns out here, and they are custom built for this match. And yes, it does give you some advantages here and there and elsewhere. But I think shooting the match with something like that was clearly not intended for this purpose, like you said, it was serious for me, because this wasn't a chance for me to do as good as I could at the Bianchi Cup. Because if I did, I would have brought a custom gun, I would have sighted it, and I would have prepared for it. But this was a chance for me to prove to everyone that the 365 is not just a flash in the pan. This is,
right,
a real, a super tiny pistol that's extremely capable. I mean, a 50-yard engagement. I mean, the Bianchi target, the group I was shooting was a man-sized group, so. It is feasible that you could shoot a target from that far away with this gun, and I'm proving it.
That's amazing.
You're amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I've always thought highly of your taste.
Oh, thank you.
In men.
Yeah.
I think that this is a unique environment in that around this particular Bianchi Cup, there have been changes in the format in the last couple of years, and now we're reverting back to what the original format of the Bianchi Cup was, in that it's, you know, a tournament that lasts 3 days, and at the end of the 3 days, your score, you'll find the winner. There's no more qualifying for a championship Saturday. But then I get the feel that there are some conversations afoot about making this match more difficult or changing some of the scoring with regard to this match to make it less about how many guys can reach the 19-20 with whatever the X count is. For me, I think an interesting way to make this match more difficult is to still allow people to shoot the open division and chase that perfect 19-20 score with the X count, and still allow people to shoot the metallic division and the production division, and then add, perhaps, the backup gun division, which essentially you're taking on with this gun.
There's several ways you can do it. I mean, that's certainly a way, is to set up divisions that are relatively restrictive. This would be a perfect example of doing that. But you know as well as I do that at some point someone's going to find a loophole to be able to say, well, they didn't say I couldn't do that. Eventually, the equipment will progress.
Right.
My intention here was to use a stock gun, a stock trigger, stock sights. And I think if they were able to restrict the equipment side of the race, and that would certainly make it harder. I mean, this is a hard match with this gun. There's no qualms about it.
Right.
But I've talked a bit about keeping the cup the way it is, keeping the match the way it is for the pros who really want to get out there and achieve that perfect score. But for entry-level shooters who may be intimidated by it, I've actually talked in detail about a short course, a 19-20, but shorter. So there's ways to make it more appealing. I think shooting this gun is just a chance for me to show, A, the gun is capable, And B, it can be shot with something that's completely not designed to be shot with. But I can say this. If there were a short course, 25 yards and in, that gun would do extremely well.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't be making the match so hard that it's – I mean, because I would never want to ask anyone to shoot a 50-yard target with that thing. It's because not only is it – the sight radius short. That the sight radius makes a huge impact, but the gun weighs 17.8 ounces, and I'm using our 147-grain V-Crown ammo. So it's
that's packing, some hot rod 9mm ammo.
It's packing a quite a wallop. So, yeah, but even with the standard ammo, I was actually testing some of the standard 115-grain ammo out of it, and it was still – it's peppy. It recoils like a 9mm that's under 18 ounces. So
right,
it's,
right. That's a handful. I mean, that's snappy in hand.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
You know what's awesome about 365? Not to interrupt.
Oh, don't.
Is this too close?
No, that's okay.
All right. Is one awesome thing about this platform that you can't get in other platforms. This is just a little plug for 365 here.
Well, this whole thing is a plug for 365.
But I'm able to run four mags in this whole match. I'm just I'm stoking up 12-round mags, and I'm running 12, 12, 12, and 12. So that's one of the few guns that you could actually do that with.
I'm glad you mentioned that because we were looking at your setup that you went out onto the practical with, and you had four mags.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, okay, he must be going six and six out of each one of those magazines, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It was set up for it. I mean, I thought to myself, man, I don't really want to shoot. I don't want to try to find eight magazines. And I thought to myself, I don't have to because I've got 12 rounds. And the mags are 100%. So, and I just shot three side matches with it. And still, it runs perfect. I mean, it's a fun machine to run. That's why I'm actually having more fun. I mean, my scores, of course, I'll never be happy unless I shoot a 1920.
Right.
But I'm telling you, it's a blast just coming out here and playing with it, you know.
Well, you're definitely turning heads, so mission accomplished there. You're getting attention for the brand. Mm-hmm. People are taking notice. And without seeing you do it, it's easy to just say, well, he's just going to throw some rounds downrange. But that's not the case.
No,
and, you know, I was standing on the practical at the 50-yard line looking through my Bushnell binoculars, so there's a plug, and I was watching you score targets, and I was remarking to another fellow that was watching. You know, I was like, okay, that was 10-8, and that, okay, the other target was X-10-10.
Yeah.
I mean, these are good-looking targets. These are competitive targets. And as you made your way back to the 25, we had the stumble on the 3-3 string. But from there back to the 50, I'm watching the 50, and I'm thinking to myself, this is where it's either going to come completely unglued or this thing is going to happen.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it's happening. And I'm saying over my shoulder to that other fellow, well, that was 10-8-8.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think there was A5.
Yeah.
So it was the proof is in the pudding. You know what I mean? The when you and I had talked about this idea initially, I thought, all right, you know, you got to play it serious. Well, I didn't have to coach you into playing it serious.
Right.
This is serious.
I came here to shoot. I came here to see what the gun's capable of. Obviously, I kind of already know what I'm capable of. I've shot this match a number of times.
You bet.
I've done well here and there. So I know what I'm capable of. I just wanted to see if the gun would do what I think it will do. And I can tell you, I can honestly say that every bad shot that I've made here, it's me. It's not the gun.
Sure.
I mean, the gun is extremely accurate. The plates will be very interesting tomorrow. I actually ran the ambidextrous plate event today as a side match, and the gun did really well. I was impressed.
Good.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, so you got a little feel for what it looks like to address a plate racket. Did you make your way back to 25 yards?
No, they only go to 20.
Okay.
I dropped a couple at 20, but you know, it's just one tiny little mistake. You just have to – it's hard to – that gun is – it's. You can get away with some mistakes. See, typically, the mistake we make is we don't hold the sights on long enough, and we pull the trigger, and we just kind of pull off and go to the next one. And
sure.
You can get away with that with a longer sight radius gun or dot. This one, there is no – you can't get away with anything. I mean, there's literally – you have to hold the sights on, and you have to be seriously cognizant of where they are, because if they're just a little bit off, it's hard to say where that round's going to go. So I'm hoping I can keep it together. I really wanted to get to the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. I think that's manageable at this point. I think you're within striking distance of that.
Yeah,
it's gonna hinge on the mover, but at 25 yards,
I'm good at 25. I don't expect to have. I haven't shot the mover with this ammo, so I don't know exactly what my lead's gonna be. But There's a side match that I'm going to shoot. That's a mover side match, so I'll get a chance to break it in. And
okay, so what, tomorrow's plates and tomorrow's then a chance plates, for that mover side. And then mover on Friday for score.
Correct.
And that'll be great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, excited.
And I don't want to continue to over, you know, over glorify what you've done by shooting the practical, but it is worth noting to everyone who wasn't there that Phil shot the 50-yard line on the practical standing. Everyone else was to the prone, and mm-hmm. the other guy who was watching while I was looking through my Bushnell binoculars was he was asking me, as you guys were making your way back to the 50, he says, well, is Phil going to go prone? I said, I don't know. We'll find out. And sure enough,
yeah.
Stands on his hind two legs and makes the shots.
Yeah, it wasn't as difficult. I mean, prone for me has always been a struggle. My shoulders are not great. So,
right.
Standing, I've had as good a score standing as I've had prone. Rob Latham won this match last year with standing at 50 in
right.
production. So sure. it's as long as it's not really, really windy.
Right.
It's not a hard thing to do. It's just, there's again, it just adds to the margin of error. If a wind gust comes up or something happens, it's now I've got a sight radius that's literally that long. Makes it harder, but I did okay. I was really happy with my practical score.
Well, in addition to that short sight radius, you've got some pretty coarse sights on the gun as well. I mean, it's a pretty wide front sight.
They're X-ray 3 night sights.
Right.
I just spray painted them with sight black. I just borrowed some sight black and painted them black, and I was fully prepared to shoot with a green X-ray 3 front and a blacked out rear, but I just so happened someone said, "Yeah, spray them up." So I sprayed them and went. But yeah, their stock sights are really fat.
Yeah. So I mean, what is the D1 target or the tombstone looking target look like at 50 yards against that really
it
pretty broad front
really
sight?
Really small.
Yeah. It pretty much covers the whole thing left
yeah.
to right, doesn't it?
It actually
yeah.
does.
That's
yeah,
pretty amazing.
The front sight is as wide as the 8 ring on the target. And I knew that the gun was shooting a little to the right, so then I had to aim off low and left to get my hits centered up on the 50. So it was
That's
I knew
remarkable.
It was kind of shooting to the right, so I kind of had to hold off and remember that hold off.
That's
so.
Remarkable. Yeah. Finding a hold at 50 yard. Yikes. Okay. Well,
guesswork.
You can believe
works.
Me. It worked, and we have coverage of it for you coming later this summer on Shooting USA. I think that this particular Bianchi Cup is going to be an interesting one from the standpoint that something is so that this is an evolutionary year. It's the 40th year. It's 40 years of this match. And I was talking with Craig Ginger earlier in the day, and he was telling me his ideas for how they might evolve this match and mm-hmm. change the scoring and things like that. And I thought, well, you've got an idea that's going to work or could work potentially. When they developed this match 40 years ago, the 1920 was something that at that time would have been thought of as unattainable.
Yeah.
And now that it is the requirement to win and right. has been since, I don't know, like 1990.
Right.
Do you feel like it's time for this match to evolve?
I don't think so. Simply because it still comes down to, I think that the margin of the difference between first, second, third, and fourth is just a little tighter now. Before, it used to be on points.
Right.
And now with the 1920s that are being shot, now it's being done on X count. So there's still, there's still no one has shot a perfect score yet.
Right.
And I think when we start seeing 192Xs.
192X
which
that's
probably when we might need to think about, you know, okay, maybe this is a little hard. But the thing is, it's not. How many? I mean, what are 200-plus shooters here?
Yeah.
And how are we going to shoot 1920?
Well, there's two right now currently that can do it at this
right.
point. After two events, Doug Koenig and Siebert are the only that right. are still in contention with clean scores.
So, of 200 shooters, you're probably going to see two cleans,
right.
Most likely. So, yeah, it's not exactly what you would call an ideal situation, but you're still getting a small, small, small percentage of shooting that perfect. I think the course of fire is okay. Personally, for me, the way I've looked at it is if we want the sport to grow, it has to be something that's feasible for other clubs to run. Because
right.
as it stands right now, your club has to have, you know, certain plate racks and turning targets. And granted, you can run them with timers and be relatively close. But I think, personally, I would love to see a short course, a 25-yard match, 25 yards and in, And you know, the mover would be an option, or you could just have another course of fire that challenges some other aspect of shooting.
Okay.
And just make it to where clubs can actually run matches and say, okay, here's the latest course. This is because we don't have 50 yards. You know, let's say, well, in my range, we only go to 25 yards, so we can't really run the practical ever.
Right.
So I think there's a way to, as it stands right now, the match is hard enough. I mean, Doug's probably going to clean it, and he may have company this year. Bruce, you know, was a 19-20 shooter.
Right. Not here because of a recent shoulder surgery, right. Unfortunately.
Right. So I think when you start seeing a larger percentage of people clean it consistently, because, like, let's face it, I mean, Doug's pretty consistent. Bruce usually is pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. And then you'll throw in a few 19-20s from random people over mm-hmm. the years. So mm-hmm. I think the match is hard enough as it is, personally.
Maybe that isn't the answer.
I think the answer is honestly just to make it either come up with, like you said, come up with equipment divisions.
More
that
divisions.
Are,
more divisions means more guns.
Right.
What about shooting this match with PCC? It makes it easier, but it brings a lot more people with a lot more guns and more ammo and, you know, more money spent in Columbia, Missouri. I don't know.
It does. I mean, I think there would have to be some optic restrictions because at some point you'd be...
No magnified optics.
Right. Because then 192X is more realistic.
It's much more realistic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's just a spitball. I mean, the idea of a compact gun division, mm-hmm. Say 3.5-inch barrel and under,
is
very feasible because that would then bring in not only guns like the 365, but other guns, revolvers.
Shield,
compact revolvers. That might be an interesting thing. And now you have a greater crossover potential with people who shoot IDPA.
Right.
Or
people who just carry
or people who just carry and like the idea of testing their marksmanship capabilities against the four courses of fire that were originally derived from law enforcement training.
I think it's certainly feasible. I think as long as they have to be really careful with the rules, you know, be relatively restrictive because, you know, they're shooters will find a way to hedge the rules, find a way to get a gun that shoots 2 inches at 50. I don't know how they would do it, but at that point, you still got to pull the trigger and line up those tiny little sights.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, you got to do it in those tight time limits, and those time limits are tight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's no joke. I still want to unpack the idea of shooting this match with a PCC because that may be my way to shoot my way into the 1600s.
I think
my best score here isn't quite 1,000. So yeah,
I think PCC would certainly lends itself well to shooters who want to be pretty accurate.
It would be a hoot, man. I think that would be, it would be fun to shoot any match format with a PCC. It is.
Yeah, PCC is fun to go. It's just fun. It's. I mean, that's the second largest division at Steel Challenge this year.
You bet.
So people are.
And it wasn't but 5 years ago that there was one dude who showed up with one, and they were like looking at him like, you shouldn't even be here. Gun shouldn't even be here.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I know. I do too. I do too. This episode of the video podcast brought to you by Monster Energy. Afternoon Energy keeps us talking.
That's a good sponsor.
Mm-hmm. They were actually a sponsor.
Yeah,
I actually
that'd be nice.
Paid for that can of Monster. What have I missed? What else should we be talking about? Because I feel like this is going along swimmingly.
I think we should be talking about your workout. I mean, let's face it, you're looking pretty ripped up.
Well, I appreciate that.
Striations are looking good.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And like I said earlier, I appreciate your taste in men, and I have for many years. It's me versus Father Time, and Father Time is an unrelenting adversary. He will eventually get all of us. And I just want to
I feel you.
Keep him at bay as long as possible, if that makes sense.
I'm putting all my defense like in the midsection area here.
Well, I know this. If we were to go on Naked and Afraid or Survivor, you'd be bringing extra sandwiches in the form of
that's right. I probably would never have to eat the whole show.
And I've got my back sandwiches.
I actually haven't eaten today. Just that's
at all?
No.
So that's a valid question then. I'm glad you brought that up. You go into this match with no breakfast? What have you had today? That's an important thing to talk about because what are you running on? That's energy, fuel in the body, and you've been burning fuel.
Okay, I've had a lot of water.
Good.
I've had
because it's hot out here in Missouri.
I've had a little bit of trail mix.
Okay, so you have eaten something.
Yeah, I eat a little stuff. I eat, I think, a tuna.
I love tuna.
The little lemon pepper
tuna.
I'm
a big fan of tuna.
I had one of those today, and I had a granola bar.
Okay.
So I'm ready to eat some tacos or something.
It's probably time to get some, like, something to really
eat.
Yeah,
we should go out.
Okay. Well, there, it's actually Mexican tonight. We had Shakespeare's Pizza last night. So anybody in Columbia, Missouri, that's a plug for Shakespeare's. They didn't pay. Neither did Monster.
What time were you there? We were there last night.
You went to Shakespeare's last
night?
I don't know. This place was full of kids. It was loud. Lord. Loud. But, man, it's delicious. That is a tradition here, and we've been coming here a long time.
I'm happy you had me on. I've had actually more fun this match than I can remember because there's literally no pressure. It's just a chance to really test out the gun and see how it does. I am nervous about the plates. I would love to clean the plates. That would be so cool.
I would love for that to happen. I'm hopeful that it does happen.
Now, there's a percentage chance that it happens. It's just not a very high percentage.
But anything can happen.
Lightning strikes and lottery.
Yeah.
They're all a percentage.
Yeah, we're up there, though.
Yeah.
Well, I know this. You can't win if you don't play.
That's
and a good
point.
And you certainly came to play.
I came to play.
With the new gun.
Yeah, I'm bringing
That's
more.
Very cool. That's very cool.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you had me on. Tomorrow will be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right.
Well, that is episode one of the Bianchi Cup 40th Anniversary Special Edition of the Shooting USA podcast and video podcast from the Holiday Inn Executive Center lounge area.
And sorry about my legs, by the way. That's just really bad.
Well,
I should have worn pants.
You did the right thing in that you wore shorts outside today to at least get the sun on there.
I'm trying to address them, but it's rough.
It's about some vitamin D, though, for sure.
I tell you.
It's definitely time to get some sun. Stay tuned for more. I've got Rob Vidaz from the U.S. Border Patrol, hopefully Julie Golub, hopefully Rob Latham at some point, maybe. He wasn't real happy about his performance today, but we'll see if that works out. And then, if it all goes well, Friday afternoon, the one and only Doug Cannon. Stay tuned.